Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse 17. Verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's follow the reading of God's Word together, and let us listen to what God says here in His Word. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now I'm going to read again verses 18 to 20, because that's where we're going to preach tonight upon the words that God has given to us. It says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And God indeed will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible book. I think you understand the key to the message this evening that is found in these verses, because the key teaching in the verses that we have before us here is the thought and the doctrine of reconciliation. You see, the Bible reminds us that man is a sinner. And because of man's sin, man is at enmity with God. And the reality is this, and it's a solemn reality, and it's this, that whilst man is at enmity with his God, God caused or gave no offense that would bring man into that place of enmity. But there's nothing of himself, there's absolutely nothing in himself, that man who is at enmity with God, there is nothing in man's self that he can do to reconcile himself to a righteous and a holy God. Here is man, and he's treading the road to hell, and he's an enemy of God. His back's to God, his face is to the world, his heart is an absolute and total rebellion. God has never offended man, but man is an offense to God. And yet there is absolutely nothing at all that man can do to reconcile himself to God. And yet, friend, there's an amazing truth here. And I pray the Spirit of God would grip your heart tonight, that God would reveal it to the man or woman That is without Jesus Christ. Here's the amazing part of the gospel. And it's this. The only offer of peace to man's soul is made by the one whom man offended. The only one that offers peace to man, the only outstretched hand of peace, is the hand of God, who outstretches it to lost, guilty, vile souls, instead of the offender crying out to God and seeking to be reconciled to God. Yet we find it is the offended one who reaches out to the poor lost and guilty sinner. Reconciliation between man and God, his maker, is never obtained by man's efforts, but it is all of God. Notice the words in verse 18. Verse 18, the opening phrase, "And all things are of God." All things are of God. Friend, there is no pardon. There is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. There is no peace in your soul. There is no assurance of heaven, but only that which God brings, and only that which God can give to the heart of lost, rebellious man. If you're here tonight unsaved, before God tonight, you're in rebellion. You're in rebellion against the God that made you. And there is absolutely nothing of yourself that you can do to reconcile yourself to a righteous and a holy and a just God. But thank God tonight there's an answer. Thank God man can be reconciled to God. But here's the story, and here's the very essence of it. All things are of God. It starts with God, friend. The offended God is willing to pardon the offender. Praise the Lord. Now let's see this message here tonight. There's four simple things I want to draw to your attention. First of all, there's the messengers. Paul's writing here to the believers in Corinth. In verse 18 he says this, "All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." There's the messengers. Go down to verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And here are the messengers that the Holy Ghost draws our attention to. You see, these verses teach us a fact. And it's this. That all mankind that's lost, all mankind in his sin, is an enmity with God. And all men need to be reconciled to God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you're a Protestant or Roman Catholic. Doesn't matter whether you're my friend or a Muslim or bow down before the shrines of idolatry. It doesn't matter, my friend, whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you come from the darkest regions of the world or, my friend, in the most affluent parts of society. All men equally are sinners in the sight of a holy God. From the queen with the crown jewels on her brow to the tramp of the street, every man and every woman is equal and equally a sinner in the sight of God himself. And here's the solemn fact. All men and women need to be reconciled to God if they're ever going to be in heaven, if they're ever going to walk through the pearly gates, and they're ever going to sit around the throne and look on the lovely face of Jesus. All men equally need to be reconciled to a righteous and a holy God. You know what that means? Paul is writing to this, the believers here at Corinth, and he reminds them that he himself was reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The preacher, the same as the person in the pew. The one that listens to me tonight, my friend, is no more a sinner or less a sinner than the preacher was a sinner. Lost, condemned, hopeless, helpless, hellish, and on the way to a Christless eternity. For every man is equally lost before a righteous and a holy God. It says in verse 18, who hath reconciled us? You see, friend, Paul was able to preach this message because he had experienced the great truth of this fact that he was reconciled to God. He was able to tell it out of a heart of experience. I have been to Jesus for the cleansing power, and I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Paul says, listen, we have been reconciled to God. He's speaking to the believers. He's speaking to the messengers. And he says, listen, what God has done for us, then we can tell others about it, because I was there when it happened, and I ought to know. Oh, friend, tonight let me tell you this. It is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for me, praise the Lord, he can do the same for you. And the messenger had to come to Christ the same way as the rest. The preacher had to come to Christ the same way as the hearer did, acknowledging that he was a sinner, lost and undone on the way to hell. Oh, I tell you this, you know, there's some people say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Remember one night I was down, had a meeting the way down in the County Armagh, outside Newry, and I was preaching about taking your burdens to the Lord and leaving them there. And there's a wee woman, boy, she was sitting and she was spitting. And I knew I was in trouble, but boy, she was on fire. You can nearly see the smoke coming out of her ears. And boy, I didn't know whether I would go down to the door or not, but I decided I would go and face her. And when I was going through the door, she turned to me. Boy, she was really anxious. She said, you preachers make me sick. And I thought to myself, well, now listen, I'm going to have to disarm her a wee bit. And so I thought a wee bit of humor. And I said to her, I says, madam, well, if you're going to be sick, would you tell me when it's coming, for I'll stand back. And boys, it didn't amuse her at all. It made her worse. And I said to her, tell me, what makes you sick? She says, listen, you tell about taking your burdens to the Lord. What do you know about burdens? What do you know about trouble? Well, that's like saying, Mrs., if you're standing in my shoes now, I think I know all about the trouble, and you're a great part of it. But you know, she had got a burdened heart, friend. And she thought the preacher somehow were immune from trouble or immune from trials. Let me tell you, there's none of us immune. Every one of us tonight are equally a sinner. Every one of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And our back was to God and our face was toward hell. Some years ago, there was a preacher. His name was Booth Tucker. He's preaching a great meeting in Chicago. And as he was preaching the Word of God and telling what Christ had done for him and what Jesus Christ would mean for him, there's a man walked across the front of the congregation and he threw a challenge out in front of the whole people. He says, Booth Tucker, you talk like that about Jesus and about Christ. And you tell him that he's dear to you. You tell him that he helps you. He says, but what? He says, what if your wife was dead, as my wife is? What if your kids were crying for a mother who would never come back? What would you say then about your Christ? Or what would you say then about your God? You would not say what you're saying. Booth Tucker finished the service. Indeed, he knew that his wife had not died. He knew he didn't experience the burden that was in that man's heart. A children crying for the mother who would never come home. But friend, just a few days after that man threw out the challenge, just a few days after that, Booth Tucker lost his beautiful and very gifted wife in a railway wreck. And she died. The body was brought back to Chicago. He carried the body of his lovely wife into the Salvation Army barracks for the funeral service. He took his place down at the front of the big gathering of people beside the casket. He looked into the face of his partner that was lying there in the coffin. And she was silent. The mother of children. And with the tears running down his eyes, he said this: "The other day, when I was here, a man said I couldn't say Jesus Christ was sufficient. If my wife was dead and my children were crying for their mother," he said, if that man is here today, I tell you, Christ is sufficient. My heart is crushed. My heart is bleeding. My heart is broken. But there is a song in my heart. And if that man is here, I tell him that though my wife is gone and my children are motherless, Christ speaks comfort to me today. Booth Tucker finished. And there in the gathering there was a movement. And the man who had challenged him a few days before was sitting at the funeral service. And he walked down, this time in front of the congregation. And he made his way beside Booth Tucker as he stood beside the casket. And he fell at the side of the casket on his knees, and he said these words: "Verily or truly, if Christ can help us like that," he says, "I'll surrender to him." And that man was gloriously saved at the side of Booth Tucker's wife's casket, where he became a child of God. Let me tell you what Paul is writing here is this. He said, you know, brethren, you see, we were reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. And because God has lifted us from the depths of sin, because God has pardoned all our iniquity, because God has brought us into a living, loving, lasting relationship with Himself through His Son, now God has given unto us a ministry. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, the messenger has no need for airs and graces, friend. For he's only a sinner, saved by grace. The word reconcile means to change thoroughly. It refers to a changed relationship between man and God. And friend, without that changed relationship, let me tell you, you're going to hell. Without that reconciliation with God, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what religious rites or denomination you pride yourself in, doesn't matter about your good works, because all your self-righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight and will never stand you a good stead when it comes to the day of your death and you're ushering out into God's eternity. You need to be changed thoroughly. That's why it says, all things are of God. Only God can change you. Only God can change you. Only the power of God can change a man. Only the power of God can take a child of hell and make them into a child of God. Only God, my friend, can lift the man's feet from the road that leads to damnation and put them on the way to heaven. It's only God can do that. The church can't do that. Man can't do that. Preachers can't do that. But glory to God, I have a message tonight. You can be reconciled to God because God can do that. I remember as a child when God, in a wee gospel mission conducted by the late Edmund Sanford, and I heard the gospel preached, and I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that my sin was evil in the sight of God. I felt the bitterness of sin even as a child, and what it was to be a sinner in the sight of God. And then he brought me to the cross. And there I saw the bleeding Lamb of God for sinners slain. And I rested my soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and the burden of my heart. Hallelujah! It rolled away. And I was reconciled to God. I was reconciled to God, friend, the only way possible. And now I've been given a ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. The other word that's mentioned down there in verse number 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors. We're ambassadors. See what ambassador, friend? You see, every preacher, every gospel, true Bible-believing preacher, he's engaged in royal business. We're doing business for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not here tonight in the name of a church. I'm not here tonight, friend, in my own name. But I have been entrusted as a servant, as an ambassador for Jesus. And I have been entrusted with a message. God has given me a message. It's the King's business. And the King's business, the Bible says, requires haste. Oh, there's an urgency about the business of the King. It's an important business. Martin Luther said that he never went into the pulpit without his knees knocking together through fear, lest he would fail the Lord. Friend, tonight, God forbid that I would preach in the flesh, because not one hearer will hear it to the salvation of their soul. Oh, that I would be clothed with a mantle of God and be clothed and filled with the Spirit of God. God forbid that I would be unfaithful to those that have been entrusted to my care tonight as a gospel preacher. For the ambassador is engaged in royal business. Let me tell you something else. An ambassador doesn't go beyond the commission given. In other words, the ambassador's business is to do only that which the God of heaven gives him. I have no authority of my own. My only authority is the word of the living God. That's why Paul, saying to young Timothy, he says, Timothy, you preach the word, son. You preach the word. He says, you know, I'm ready to be offered. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. He says, the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, they'll not want to hear the truth, but they'll turn away their ears to preachers having itching ears, and they'll be turned away from the truth. But he said, Timothy, you just keep preaching the word, Timothy. What word? The word of God. The word of God. Friend, let me say this. I don't care who the man is. I don't care whether his collar's turned round one way or the other. I want to say this before God. No preacher, no minister has any right, to offer terms to any sinner other than God has offered. A preacher that tells a man, do the best you can, and you'll make it out to heaven, he's a liar. The preacher that tells a man, be baptized, and you'll be on your way to heaven, you'll be made a child of God and an heir of the kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, friend, he's a liar. Baptism's not the way to heaven. Jesus is the way to heaven. Confirmation's not the way to heaven. Conversion's the way. Glorious, glorious conversion. And the servant, and the ambassador, and the minister delivers the message that God gives. He doesn't originate it. It doesn't start with him. I'm not changing the message for anybody. Folks said to me concerning yesterday, Lily's funeral, I was preaching the message and not everybody perhaps appreciated it. I don't care, friend. Don't care. There's one thing is, by the grace of God, I'll not be putting my hand to sending any soul to hell. and not be cutting the cloth to suit the crowd, and if people don't like it, well, I tell you this, they're answerable to God. But I want to preach the word, because the ambassador never goes beyond his commission. He simply delivers the message which God has given. That's what I'm here to do tonight. And there's something else about an ambassador. An ambassador is also conscious that one day he must give an account. And friend, one day I'm going to meet my master. One day I'm going to report in to my master. And I'll give an account of my stewardship. And before God, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. And I'm saying this with all my heart. Children of God, please pray. Pray that until the day God calls me home and God silences my lips, pray God that I will remain faithful to Jesus in the proclamation of his truth, no matter what it costs. And I beg you, please, like Paul, he says, brethren, pray for us. There are many today, and friend, they started well, but they didn't finish well. There's many a soul and many a man that used to have a powerful ministry under God, and is shipwrecked today. I'd rather hear from Jesus' lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, than to hear the applause and appreciation of man. You see, friend, there's the message very quickly. Here's the means of reconciliation. Go to verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Listen to this. You cannot reconcile yourself to God. Notice what it says. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Let me say this before God. Listen. Your tears will never reconcile you to God. Oh, I pray that God will break you. I pray that God will show you the awfulness of your sin. I pray that God will reveal to you the hellishness of your way and the evil that you're committing as you trample underfoot the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, friend, tears over sin. There's many a man, and he sits in prison tonight, and let me tell you this, he cries himself to sleep. But he's not crying because he is sorry for his sin. He's crying because he's enduring the fruits of a sin. For he was caught on. And because he was caught on, his liberty and his freedom is taken away from him. And he's not able to be with his family. And my, he misses them. And he longs to be with them, you see, because he's enduring the fruits of his sin. But he's not sorry for his sin. Friend, let me tell you this, your tears, even over your sin and the feeling of the guilt of it, there's many a man has wept sore. I've seen big men sitting in meetings, and I've seen them weep sore whenever it came to the gospel appeal. I've even seen them sit on their hands as the appeal was given at the end of the meeting, lest they would raise it, realizing that the need to be saved. And the Spirit of God has so worked on them. But let me tell you this, my friend. Your tears alone will never reconcile you to God. No ceremony, no ritual that you can go through. You can have all the waters of the tank. You can have a few drops of a basin. But let me tell you, friend, ceremonies will never get you into heaven. will never reconcile you to God. Man's inventions. Church inventions will never reconcile a man to God. You may be satisfied with your means and your ways, but you will never reconcile yourself to God. The only means of reconciliation, listen, friend, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What's the secret? In Christ. In Christ. That's what it says in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. It's not Christ plus the church. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus ceremonies. It's Christ alone. There's no additions to Jesus. He's not a way, he's the only way. And all are lost, and all are condemned, and all are helpless, and all are hopeless. But God, God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. The eternal Son of God, friend, listen. He humbled himself and he took upon himself our manhood. And he lived a perfect life. And he died an atoning death. And he took the great burden of our sin. And for it, God's justice was inflicted upon him. And all the divine wrath of a righteous and holy God was placed and endured by him. And we are reconciled to God by his blood, by his cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It's not at the tank, friend. It's not at the baptismal font. It's not at the communion rail. It's at the cross. It's at the feet of Jesus, where Christ bled. Now, thank God tonight there is a place of pardon. Thank God there is full pardon and forgiveness. Thank God there is mercy. Thank God there is peace. You can lay your head tonight down upon the pillow and be in peace with God and have in your soul the peace of God. But listen to me carefully. It will never, never, never be apart from God. Through Jesus Christ and the work of his cross. Through Christ and his atoning sacrifice, all the demands of God's holy law was fully met. And thank God those who believe in him will never, never perish. You know, some people say to me, that God was forced to love us because of Calvary. Let me tell you, friend, that's a lie of the devil. God wasn't forced to love me because of Calvary. But he loved me. That's why he sent his son to Calvary. For God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation for the highest cost he offers free to all. But God, who is rich in mercy, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There we have the means, friend. But look at the marvel here. Listen. Verse 19 again. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, because Christ died, because Christ fully paid the price of my redemption, and he bare my sins upon his own body on the tree, therefore God treats me as his child, and as if the sins were not ours. They're no longer reckoned to my account. That's why it says here, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Why? Because our sins were reckoned to Christ's account. And glory to God, through his blood and through his finished work, his righteousness was reckoned to my account. My sins are gone. I'll never be in hell tonight. And I'll never be in hell ever. Because Christ hath died. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sinner, let me tell you that there is reconciliation for you. Nothing more is needed to be added to the cross. Thank God it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Here's the marvel of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when a man comes to Christ, and when he trusts Jesus as a Savior, and he receives the cleansing of the precious blood, glory to God, that man is pardoned. Fully pardoned. Our sins are gone. Hallelujah. We're absolved. We're truly justified. We're just as if we never had sinned. That's why it says all things are of God. Only God could do that. Oh, marvelous. Oh, wonderful. What a glorious message we have to proclaim. Here's the last thought tonight. Here's the manner. Catch this, please. Go to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. I didn't come to this meeting tonight with a desire to inform your intellect. I didn't come to try and impress you and say how wonderful the preacher is, for God knows this is far from the truth. But I'm here to preach Christ. And God has sent me as an ambassador, and God has sent me with this minister of reconciliation to do it in two ways. To beseech you. To beseech you. And to pray you. I've had some solemn warnings in this meeting tonight for souls. Sinner, I have to tell you before God, let me tell you, there is wrath to come, and that wrath's real. You know, people would talk about a tsunami disaster and about all of these tragedies happening in the world, and let me tell you, nobody laughs at the tsunami anymore. In a moment, realize that people can be swept out from time to eternity, just a moment. Nobody laughs at the earthquakes. It shakes the very foundation of the house, and the only one who would laugh would be a fool. Let me tell you, there's something even more real, and it's the wrath of God. And I'm not only to tell you that, I'm not only to warn you, I'm to beseech you, I'm to beg you, earnestly. You know, sometimes when I go to the hospital, and when I go to the hospital, someone lying there in pain. And they're lying there with absolute stress and strain. And they look with tear-lit eyes. And we go to the hospital one night, and this wee man could hardly breathe. His lungs were gone completely. Lying in agony and pain in the bed, and I can remember gasping. And I remember him putting up his two hands, and he was catching the end of the bed. Just try and heave to get another breath. I remember the tears running down the cheeks. And amidst the heaving and the gasping, he said to me, "Preacher, pray for me." Tell you, he wasn't laughing. Pray for me. Paul said here, as an ambassador for Christ, as though God did beseech you. God begging sinners. Be reconciled. Come here. And then he said this, I pray. I pray you in Christ's stead. Be reconciled to God. Oh, I want to beseech you tonight, and I want to pray you in Christ's stead. I want to do it as my Lord would have me do it. I think of the tenderness of the heart of Christ when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. I want you to think of the tenderness of Christ when he wept and he said, he will not come to me. And you might have liked him. I want you to come. But he says, you will not come. I see him sitting on the top of the Mount of Olives one day. And as he looks across the Kidron Valley and up into the city of Jerusalem, he starts to cry, the weeping Savior. Say, Lord, why are you weeping? Is it the cross? Do you want to run from the cross? No. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would have gathered her brood under her wings. He says, but you would not. He had a broken heart over souls of men and women. Paul said, listen, God has given me the ministry of reconciliation. I beseech you as though God did beseech you. I pray you in Christ's stead with a burdened heart. I beg you be reconciled to God. Oh, may God help us to talk to souls with a love in our hearts, with a burden in our soul, that they might know that we care, that they might know that we're burdened for their salvation, lest they die in their sin and where Christ is and never be. Don't fight against God, sinner. I beg you in God's name, lay down those arms of rebellion. You're a rebel to God tonight. I don't care. You may be respectable. But if you're still in your sin, if you've never trusted Jesus, you're in rebellion against the Son of God. And the Scripture says this, kiss the Son. Now, what's wrong to Jesus, friend? Listen, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. What a letter. Will you not run to Jesus tonight? Will you not run to him? Some years ago, with this, I close. There was a man, Donald Campbell, and Donald Campbell was working down at the docks, and as he was working down at the docks, he was a child of God, but he was working among some hard men. They finished unloading the boat of coal. A little while before the next boat would come in, before they would unload it, and down, and the men had a few minutes to spare. And one of his fellow dockers began to mock Down. to tell him that he was an old, he wasn't a Christian at all. He was nothing else, only an old killjoy. Because he would tell them of their need of Jesus. And they said, you know, we have scripture to prove it. You're an old killjoy. And then they quoted this verse. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. And they said, well, you didn't tell us that, Don. You didn't tell us that. You tell us that we need to change our ways. We're to walk in the ways of our own heart. We're to rejoice in our youth. In other words, we're to have a good time. Come on, Donald! You're not a Christian at all. You're an old killjoy. You don't want to be happy in the world. They laughed at him. There's an old blackboard beside where they were, and they used to put up, you know, the quantities of the coal. And Don walked over and never spoke a word. He just walked over and he lifted the piece of chalk. And he wrote these words. But know thou, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And then Don turned to him. His man, you forgot the end of the verse. That's the same verse. Friend, don't forget the end of the story. Don't listen to the devil's lie. Don't let the devil misquote the word of God. That verse is found in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in thy ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And in God's name I beg you tonight, be reconciled to God. All come to Him. Lay down your arms of rebellion. And come the only way that you can come. Come as a sinner to Jesus and ask Jesus to save you. He will save you. Hallelujah. And He will save you. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Thank you for the great truth of thy word. Bless it to all of our hearts. Give every one of your children, our God, a broken heart. Help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to love the sinner for Jesus. Help us to reach down into the gutter and lift up the fallen, realizing that one day we were found there ourselves. Only God saved us. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask you a question. Dear man, dear woman, will you let God work in your heart tonight? God, the offended God, is reaching out to you, the offender. And He says, be ye reconciled. I give my darling son for you. He shed His precious blood for you. I could do no more. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Young man, will you come to Jesus tonight? Mommy, will you come to Jesus? Daddy? Come to Christ. Be ye reconciled to God. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we sing that little verse, just as I am without one plea. And if there's one in this gathering tonight and you mean it before God tonight, you say, preacher, I want that reconciliation. I want God to save me. I want the blood of Christ to cleanse me. I want that peace in my soul tonight, preacher. Oh, I've longed for that peace, but I've never known it. Preacher, lead me to Jesus. Friend, as we sing this verse, would you lift that hand above your head that I'll see it? And we'll pray for you that God will do the work in your heart. Just as I am. Backslider, come on back to him. Just come now, for Jesus' sake. Just as there's the one tonight as we sing the little verse. Be ye reconciled to God. Father, mother, son, or daughter, would you lift that hand right now before God? Lift it to heaven. Preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. Lead me to your Son, Lord, O God of glory. I want my sins pardoned. I want my sins forgiven. I want peace within. I come. Why don't you come, man? Why don't you come, woman? The Lord will do you good. The Lord will save your soul, and praise God, He'll give you a song. He'll satisfy you if you come just as I am and waiting not the final verse. May God help you to come. Just as I am and waiting not. Some of you know the gospel from A to Z. A friend, knowing it and yet not knowing Christ, what a tragedy. Is there one in the closing moment? Just lift that hand right now. Preacher, lead me to Jesus Christ. Lift that hand above your head. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one before we close? Heavenly Father, put your hand upon every man and every woman, every young person in this meeting tonight. Let no one leave your house frivolous. Let no one leave your house careless. But God, speak to them. Please, God, shake them in their sin. May they not only be like Felix who trembled and was lost, but, oh God, may they tremble in their sin and fall at your feet. Cry out for pardon. Cry out for peace. Lord, answer prayer tonight. We're totally unworthy of your blessing, yet, Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you for your presence. Save the sinner and restore the fallen. Bless your people. In Jesus' name. Watch over us till we meet again. The people of God said,